Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, and we're asking for your blessings on our service and our trip and our camp week, and we've got a lot of things going on today, Lord, but help us to forget about some of those things, at least temporarily, that we can look to your word, look to you, Lord, that we can have our minds cleared, our hearts open, Lord, that you can commune with us through your word. And so we're asking for a blessing, a pouring out of your spirit today. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures, our distractions, Lord, our sin, that you can have. We can have clean hearts and minds, Lord, that we can serve you and worship you today, Lord. So we'll have everything open, ready for you. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray for those that are here, maybe lost, not sure about their salvation. We're praying today will be the day they call on your name, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 15, pretty familiar story for us. Haven't preached on it in a while, but I like it a lot. In verse 11, it said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The title of the message to this morning is, What's the Big Attraction? What's the Big Attraction? That's a familiar text. For the last couple of, about a month or so, this text been popping up. I've either heard somebody say something about it, somebody referenced it in a sermon somewhere, a few topics and things, and I had a thought that came up about it, and I've been like wanting to preach it, just other things were going on, wasn't led quite to at that time, but try to get to that point today. I really want to kind of emphasize a couple things, and one of them being this, I'll give you a thought now, you can think about it. Sometimes we think about looking at the far country and going into a far country. We talk about that a lot and about the fact that he wasted his living and he did and his father's loving that. But we don't emphasize this, and this is what I had, and I've preached this many times, this text, but I didn't think about this as much. It was what he left behind. What he left behind when he left the father and went into the far country. And I want to talk about that a little bit as we go into the message today. The son wanted this inheritance before the father died, which was unusual. He wanted to get out on his own and get away. And we understand that. All of us have probably at one time felt that way, thought about that. And if you're a young person, you're probably thinking about that now. And there's also a spiritual picture that's intertwined in the story. And one of the things that, and I didn't read that, but what always preludes this story, and usually we don't talk about it, but Jesus was speaking to some publicans and sinners, but there was some scribes and Pharisees that were listening to him preach. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they spoke among themselves, and they said that they were talking about Jesus, and they said, you know, he's receiving sinners. And he said that he ate with them. He sat down and ate with them. And they were criticizing him for sitting with these sinners. And when we get to the last part of the story, the second son, you see his attitude towards his brother's return. Jesus told this, and he was just telling this parable. He was telling this story, this parable, to teach everybody that was listening. But he knew those scribes and Pharisees were listening too. And he was trying to get across to them about, you know, forgiveness, about salvation, about, you know, not merited, unearned. And I'll talk about that too. The very first point we see, it says that he went into a far country in verse number 13. And, you know, the title of the message, what's the big attraction about the far country? Getting away from where he's living and getting away from your parents. And all of us, you younger people that are here, young kids, this would be a good Bible camp message for you guys and those of us that have already grown up. And you remember when you were young? You dreamed about, boy, I can't wait one day. I'll move out and I'm going to get my own house. And I'm going to get a job, and boy, I just can't wait to get around and get away from my parents, and nobody's going to tell me, what to do, those things. I grew up in Virginia Beach. Wherever you live, you know, complacency breeds contempt, they say. And I grew up there, and I remember in the summer, I wanted to go to the mountains. Now, y'all live in the mountains. I know you're thinking, why in the world did you want to go in the mountains? And the reason I know that is because when I went down to my great-grandmother's in the mountains, I'd meet some younger kids, and they'd say, where are you from? And because they knew by my accent I wasn't from around here. And they said, where are you from? And I'd tell them I'm from Virginia Beach. They said, what are you doing here, man? You're crazy. What do you want to come to the mountains for? You know, man, Virginia Beach, you know, then you felt a little better about where you lived. You know, yeah, Virginia Beach, we lived at the beach. They thought it was great. They thought it was crazy that I'd want to leave there and get out to the mountains. But you know what happens? We want to get out from underneath our parents so that we get to call the shots, and nobody's going to tell us what to do, and we think it's going to be better. Grass is always greener on the other side. Isn't that right? Huh? Boy, nobody, they didn't talk about when you get married, Lester, and then somebody's telling you what to do, but they're just talking about when you get out. Think back before then, you know, before those days. But it's been said about that man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. Man's, you know, there's a reason for rules and stuff, and there's safety, and there's protection, and we don't like to think about that, too much. And but you know, we go out. This guy, that's what he wanted to do. He said, "Listen, give me my inheritance," and the father gave it to him. And he said, "Man, I'm going to go out and I'm gonna rip and run and have a good time." Well, you know, what did he find out there? You know, he got out of control. It said that he wasted all his money. And about the same time he became broke, guess what? A famine hit the land. See, so, even with a famine hitting the land, sometimes it wouldn't matter if you had money. Like if you had a lot of money and there wasn't any vegetables, you couldn't buy any because it doesn't matter what's going to, if the stock market crashes, it don't matter, you know, because you can't do anything. So, but it got to be, you know, it was a bad time this famine hit. I mean, it's a spiritual picture for sure as well, that we get in a famine or a drought type condition sometimes when we get, and listen, I'm going to tell you what, if you're out here ripping and running, or whether you're ripping and running or not, if you're out here doing what you want to do, not under the rule of God, you're in a spiritual drought already because you're not under the rule of Jesus Christ himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I mean, you know, we have said, if you're saved, you've said, I'm placing myself under his authority, under his control. Because, you know, you're under somebody's control. I don't care what it is, man. You go to work, the boss man, they don't want you. The boss man, he tells you what to do, right? When to work, when to punch in. Listen, you're under somebody's control. When you get out on the highway, you know, you can speed if you want to, but they're probably going to pull you over, and then you're going to either go to jail, pay a fine. We got controls no matter what we do in life. There's a picture there, you know, and you can serve Satan or you can serve Jesus Christ. You're going to serve somebody. It don't matter who, but if we said that we're underneath the Lord's control and then we're rebelling against him, You're in a far country. You're in a spiritual famine. You're in a drought already. And I remember, you know, Pastor Frank, the pastor that was here before me, he always had a funny little story stuck with me. He said, yeah, I got sick and tired of my parents telling me what to do. So I showed them, I joined the army. Huh? There's a real good move right there, huh? He said, I saw him. I'm going to join the army. You know, like nobody's going to tell you what to do there. Boy, they tell you a whole lot more to do. They tell you when to do it, where to do it, what color, and how high to stack it, brother. You got to do everything the way they. That's, you know, it'd be good for a lot of folks. You know, the military isn't a bad deal right there. Because I'll tell you one thing about it, and I've done it too. I was in the military, man. I went and ripped and ran. I got paid one time at 3:30 on Friday afternoon, and we got paid every 2 weeks. And at 7:30, I had $12 left. Huh? 7:30, got paid at 3:30. At 7:30, had $12. But guess what? Man, I had a place to sleep right there on the ship. I had a place to eat. Man, they fed us right there. Fed us good, too, in the Navy. Fed me, got a place to sleep, had clothes on my back. Didn't have to go, didn't have to worry about it. Now, it wasn't no fun, but I had a place, you know, the protection there that was in place in that day right there. But, you know, this guy, he got out. He said, man, I don't want to do, I'm tired of working around the house and doing for Dad. And he goes, I want to get out on my own. Guess what happens when you get out on your own? You got to go to work. Now he got hungry. He started feeding swine. Listen, sweet feeding swine for a Jew was a bad deal. They didn't touch. It couldn't get no lower. Eating what the swine ate, that was a little bit lower. It couldn't get much worse than that. He ate what the swine ate. He got out there. Guess what? He's doing for a stranger what he wouldn't do for his daddy. He's doing for a stranger what he wouldn't do for his own father. He wouldn't have done that for his father, but he's doing it for a stranger because now, guess what? He's got to. You know, freedom? Question mark. Is he free? He's not free. You get in bondage. Listen, you go out here and do whatever you want to do. Go out there and rip and run. Huh? You go out there and get on dope if you want to. You think, oh, I'm going to be free. No, you're not going to be free. You're going to be a slave to the dope, or you're going to be a slave to the money that you got to have to buy it. Huh? I watch some things on TV, the National Geographics, and different things that come on there and television. Them women and men down there, and saw one that was in Florida, one woman, man. She was a crackhead, man. She was smoking up and didn't have a tooth in her head, man. Her skin's all wrinkled up, man. And she's just sitting in a alley in a gutter. I'm free. Huh? How you like that? I know you're not free. You're in bondage. Your whole body's addicted to something that you can't get away from. You got to have it. You got to get a fix, man. You're jamming a needle in your arm. One guy was on there. He had been a Wall Street broker, man. Had a Mercedes, had a big house, had a wife and family. Everything. He's living in a cardboard box because he done got strung out on dope, shooting a needle up in his arm all the time. And that's all he did. And he was standing there talking to the camera person, and he's all jittery, and they got the itches and everything scratching. Well, I got to go. And where he goes limping off, he can barely walk. He limps off to go get another fix. Got to go get the other fix and live in a cardboard box. Is he free? He ain't free. He got a ball and chain big as his church tied to his ankle right there. Can't move, can't talk, can't function, can't do anything without getting that dope freedom. Man, that was because he got to do everything he wanted to do. But this guy here, you know, he got in that far country, he got in a bad way, got down to the bottom. And I want to tell you, not everybody that gets to the bottom finally sees the light. Huh? Some of them people still living in the cardboard box. Some of them people still addicted to some kind of sin. It can be all kinds of sin. I don't care what it can be. Listen, it can be drugs. It can be pornography. It can be sex. It can be money. It can be all kinds of sins that you're out there. Power. It can be everything. There's people that still hung up and addicted to those things. If it says here, it says he came to himself. He came to himself. In other words, he got, you know, he was out of his mind is what he was basically saying. And this is what repentance is. He had a change of mind. He came to himself, verse 17, came to himself. You know what it was? He got honest with himself. He had an honest evaluation of his self. You know, he started thinking about, you know, really, he said, you know, look at this situation. See, some people, you know what? You know what most of the problem with a lot of people is pride. And so what it is a lot of people's too proud. And I remember I've been in the same boat and been there, and I didn't think about calling mom and dad and saying, hey, mom, dad, guess what? I'm starving to death. Your son is dying. You know, they would have took care of me. He finally says, you know what? This ain't working out. I mean, you know, you got to go dragging back to the house and saying, guess what? I done wasted all my inheritance. I blew it. I was an idiot. I'm stupid. Can I just come and work for you? That's basically what he was going to do. Go back. Can I work for you? He wanted to talk to his dad, and he had an honest evaluation of himself and his situation. And I want to tell you something. This is what God wants. This is all God wants from us. It's just to be honest with our own self, about our own self with God. Just admit it. That's all it is. Just confess. That's all you got to do. Just admit it. And I don't care what it is. You know, we look, well, I don't have any big things. All right, what about the small things? How about just admitting you're not where you need to be as far as your relationship with Jesus Christ? Huh? How about get rid of enough pride to say that? And then say, okay, well, what do I got to do about it? How about praying about it? How about praying about it? Just, I'm not where I need to be, is where I could be, where I should be, as far as my relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you can fill in the blank with every other thing. I'm not the husband I should be. I'm not the father I should be. I'm not the grandfather. I'm not the grandmother. I'm not the child that I should be. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. I mean, just admit it. Be honest about it. He changed his mind about this far country. He changed his mind about himself, and he changed his mind about what freedom really is. And then it says that he remembered his father. He remembered his father. Man, I remember, listen, man, when I was 18 years old, and I, same way. Man, I was getting ready. And I had a job. I was getting ready to move away, going to work at Virginia Tractor, which Virginia Tractor was owned by a Carter, that's a Carter brother of the guy that owns Carter Equipment, his brother. And I went to work. Got out of high school, went to vocational school during high school. I went 2 years of vocational school, power mechanics. I was working on diesels and gasoline, stuff like that. Got me an apprenticeship at Virginia Tractor. And started working at Norfolk, but they wanted me to go to Haymarket, which is in Northern Virginia, and I was in Virginia Beach. And man, I was all jacked up about it, man. You know, you're 18, you're already bouncing off the walls as it is. You know, you're already just high strung as you can be. And man, everything, man, you're moving away, boy. You're getting out on your own, boy. Man, it was going to be good, man. I couldn't hardly wait it. But I remember my daddy took, one time my dad was out in the, I can remember this day. He was at the front of the garage doing something. He's down on his knees doing something. Garage door was up. And I was, you know, and going out, you know. He said, hey, man, let me talk to you. I said, yeah. He said, look, man, he said, how about spending a little time around the house? He said, you know, your mom's taking it hard, you know, about you moving away, which I think he was taking it hard, too. I said, you know, man, but, you know, I was, you know, inside, I was like, yeah, okay. You know, I spent 2 extra minutes there, and you know, out the door I went, man, and I was ready to go. Huh? And boy, then there was times I remember when I got out, man, yeah, ripping, running, man, going out to the club every night, man, spending all my money. I'd like to have all the money I've blown in my life, huh? I wouldn't have to worry about retirement. And I remember one time I got home from work, and I looked in, there was nothing in the cupboard. Looked in the refrigerator, there was one pack of sausages and a mayonnaise, and I had some white bread. For supper, I fried sausages in the frying pan, put them on the bread, and had some mayonnaise, which ain't bad. It isn't bad when you haven't had nothing to eat, but I mean, that's it. It ain't like mama made it. I'm going to tell you that right now. We never in my life had sausage on white bread and mayonnaise for supper when I came home. We had a good meal when we got home. But I want to tell you something about that. I'll tell you what, man. There's days now when I look back in my life, boy, what I wouldn't give to go back to some Christmas Eve or Christmas morning at home with my parents there. What I wouldn't give for some lazy summer afternoon, waking up at home, man, didn't have a care in the world, wake up at the crack of noon, go in the living room, huh? Turn on the TV and watch Dick Van Dyke, The Beverly Hillbillies, I Love Lucy, Andy Griffith, in that order, huh? And then, like, you know, go out and say, well, I'll get on my bike and ride around the neighborhood. Huh? When I was doing that, all I wanted to do was get to the far country. If I had $1 million to spare, if I could go back for one day, huh? One day, back to my parents' house, that's what I think about. I think about them days. Man, you kids that's in a rain, you in a hurry to get away? I'm going to tell you what. To this day, I'm 62 years old. The biggest span of my life seems like from the time I was can remember till I was like 18. That seems like the biggest part of my life, even to this day. I've spent more years away from home than I was at home, but I think about home all the time. Think about it all the time. I wish I could go back to those days, man. But what happens is we get our eyes on the far country, whether it be spiritual or geographic, and we only see what we think we're going to find. We thought, oh boy, man, listen, I was just as much in bondage there because guess what? Now I got to go to work. And I got to go to work. It ain't no, I'm not going, I'm going to sit around, mom and dad's going to pay all the bills. See, mom, back then, mom and dad paid for insurance. Mom and dad paid for all the hospital stuff. Mom and dad paid for the heat and the air and the light bill and the house payment, man. And I didn't have to do nothing. Come home and say, mom, what's for supper? Mom, what's for breakfast? Mom, what's for lunch? Huh? When I got out on my own, I had to put the money in the bank. I had to make sure I went to work. I had to write the check. I had to pay the bill. I had to fix the meal. I had to do it. Man alive, I was in more bondage when I was out on my own than I was when I was living at home. Somebody else did. I had servants when I was living at home, and she was called mom. Huh? Yeah, it was nothing. But this guy here, you know, he thought what he was going to find. Listen, and this is where it is. We don't look back at what we're leaving. You know what he had at home? He had somebody that loved him. When you get out there and you only got two sausage patties and a piece of white bread, I'm going to tell you something. Them people in the apartment complex, they didn't give a rip. Huh? Somebody didn't come down there banging on the door, hey, I got a roast beef for you. Huh? They don't care. He had love. He had a father that loved him. That's what he was leaving. He had security. No matter what happened, his daddy was going to take care of him. He had security. He had friends. He had clothes, all the things that you think, the clothes. Back in the day, listen, now I got to go to the store and say, gee, this costs this and this. Back in them days, my mom and dad, they bought me my clothes. He had clothes, jewelry, security, knowing that everything's going to be all right. You know what? I'm 60, 62. My dad just died 3.5 years ago. And I don't care how old you are, when your parents are alive, you always have a little bone in your head that feels like, man, if push comes to shove, it really gets bad. I got a place to go. When my parents are dead, we went on the church camping trip. My whole family, we all hiked up to that trail up behind the campground where you could overlook on the lake. And I got to looking around and I said, I'm the oldest person here. I said, I'm the oldest person here. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you start realizing, you know what, there's nobody else to turn to. Now, I mean, if I get in too bad a shape, I'm hoping my daughter and son will, you know, I can't get her to clip my toenails yet, but kidding around with her about that on Wednesday night. I told her she ought to start practicing up. But, there's a sense of security that you have, and you don't have that anymore. He left all that looking for it. And if the prodigal son only thought about himself at this point, the situation would have been hopeless. But it said that he remembered the father. He remembered the father. He had a place he could go. And see, we still have a place we can go to. Huh? There's the father's love. The second thing there, you know, circumstances helped him see the father in a new way. He started thinking about home. But you know what? He didn't stop thinking about it. Look at what he says. It says in verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him three things. I will arise, I will go, I will say. That is repentance and confession. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. A lot of people say, well, you know what, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to go to church when I get ready. I'm going to come to church. And I mean, they equate coming to church with, listen, you can come to church all you want and be lost as you can be, and you can be here. You can be in a far country sitting right here. Some of you might be in a far country now. Your head's off somewhere else, not here. I mean, I don't know. You can be in a far country. You know, you can. And I understand that. But, you know, they equate coming to church with getting in a right relationship with God, which, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25, and we shouldn't. And that, I understand it. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ, but you know, you really don't come to Christ on your terms. Come on His when He's ready. It's not when you're ready. A lot of times we use this term, I don't even like it. I don't like to use it. Well, you know, do you want to accept Jesus? You better pray to God He accepts you. Huh? It's not, we're not, you receive Him, but you don't, you know, accepting Him? Uh-uh. You don't accept him. You better hope he accepts you. That's the way you look at it. But you know what? You know, you don't know. You don't have a guarantee for another minute. You don't have a guarantee for another heartbeat, another breath. You don't know what I'll get there when I'm ready. You may never get ready. This guy did something about it. He came to his senses. He said, I'm going to rise, I'm going to go, and I'm going to say, I'm going to talk to Dad and confess, what's happened. But I love verse 20. It said the father saw him a great way off. You know why the father saw him a great way off? Because the father was looking. Every day that father was out there in the field, he was doing something. He'd look down that highway, see his son, man. You know he loved his son. You know he missed his son. I don't know how long he was gone. He was gone a while. He was gone long enough to blow his inheritance. He was gone long enough to get in a famine. The famine lasted long enough to get him to the point that he was feeding swine. We don't know what the steps were of his decline. I mean, you didn't have a bunch of money one day, although we can blow it in a hurry, and then all of a sudden you got nothing. There was some kind of steps to it when he got down there to feeding swine. You know, I don't know what the steps were, but it's been a while. But that old daddy loved him. I tell you what, he kept looking. He'd be working. He'd look out there and see if he'd see something. And it says, while he was a great way off, Daddy saw a shape. I bet you if all the servants and everybody else saw that one individual walking, I bet you that Daddy recognized him before anybody else. Huh? You know, there's certain people that just walk. You know, you can tell. You know, they got a certain walk about them or something. You just know who it is. I used to work with a boy. His son, good night. They walk just like each other. You can tell a mile away. If I saw him today, I'd know who it was. And he saw him because he loved him. Because here's what the deal is. Love, that nothing changed the love between the father and the son. It didn't matter that he blew the money. It didn't matter that he left home. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is rich in mercy and grace. Rich in mercy and grace. The love never changed. Now, did the daddy want him to blow his inheritance? No. He didn't want him to blow his inheritance. But he did. Nothing's going to change it. You know, and so he still loved him. We're not saved. Listen to me. We're not saved by God's love. We're saved by his mercy and grace. Love put Jesus on the cross, kept him on the cross. The holiness of God put him there. Love kept him there. But our salvation came through mercy and grace. And the Bible says there that the Father brought out the best robe, the ring, the shoes, the food. What do you think that boy was looking for in the far country? Huh? He was looking for food, robe, clothes, shoes, ring, jewelry, all the things that God's already got for us, and that's the way it is now. What's the big attraction? What's the big attraction out there in the world? You're going to go down there and sit at the sidetrack or whatever they call that place down there now. They didn't change names so many times. That shows you how that business is going. Huh? The saloon, you're going to go down there and sit and I'm going to find happiness in a bottle. Huh? I'm going to find happiness in a room filled with smoke all the way up to here. I don't even know if they probably don't allow you to smoke inside anymore. I don't even know. You going to find happiness in that? Or how about going to the carnival every night? Oh, boy, that was a real joy, wasn't it? Huh? Huh? That was a real treat. I mean, you know, it's fun, but I mean, you know, you're going to find, what are you going to find? What's the big attraction out there that the world has? The world out there has nothing for you because the world don't care anything about you. Huh? If it had been up to the world, that man would have starved to death. He didn't find it until he got back home. He didn't have joy. He didn't have a celebration. He didn't have the things he was looking for until he got back home. Jesus Christ has got everything that we're looking for. What's the big attraction out there in the world? It ain't nothing but a pit. It's nothing but a pit. I can't go in them places. I can't believe in places I used to hang. I can even think back now to stench. You ever been in one of them old hillbilly bars? You know, don't confess. You don't have to confess now. You can do it. And when we have altar call, you can come on down here about it. Yeah, they smell like an old beer to start with, old beer and cigarettes back when they had it. And the bathrooms was even worse, man. They pump all them perfume in there like trying to, huh? Oh, I'm going to go hang out in this slop hole? Huh? I'm throwing my money away. Ooh, I'm going to have a headache in the morning. Huh? Yeah, man, I'm going to wake up, you know, man. I'm having fun, right? Huh? What's the big attraction? And there's spiritual growth he has too. Look in verse 12. He said, Father, the second after the comma, Father, give me. In verse 19, look what he said. Make me, say after the semicolon. He said, make me. See, he said, Father, give me. And now we find him, he says, Father, make me. You know, I'll tell you something. When a person matures in Christ, there's a change in what and how they pray. You know what? We're selfish, see. And all he said, a lot of times we pray, Lord, you know, help me with this, my toenail, my kidney, my liver, this, man. And we pray about all those physical things right there. And then after you mature a little bit in Christ, you start saying, Father, make me. Make me holy. Make me pure. Make me like you. Yeah, you start learning how to change. His prayer life changed because he had matured some going through all he'd gone through in life. Let me ask you this. Did he deserve what the Father gave him? No. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called forgiveness. But we see the last point, his frowning brother, his brother there. Big brother wasn't real happy about little brother's return. And you know, he's a brother, right? I want to tell you what I found out being in the ministry for years and years and years. Our worst critics are not from the lost, as a sense, even though this brother was lost. Our worst critics come from within the brotherhood of Christianity. That's where we get criticized the most. This sometimes is called the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son. There was two lost sons. Both his sons were lost. Both of them's lost. One of them stayed home, but he's just lost as the other one was. And he hadn't learned a lesson yet. The other one probably learned something. He went from saying, give me to make me. And this brother hadn't learned that yet. Jesus was trying to teach, as I said, to those scribes and Pharisees, that religious crowd, because they were really condemning Jesus. And they were looking down at them publicans and sinners and saying, oh, look, he's eating with them publicans and sinners, which they were the religious crowd. They were supposed to be leading people to Christ and leading them to God because they didn't believe in Jesus yet. But to lead people to God, who needs God? Who needs Jesus? It's sinners and publicans, right? That's who needs them, right? The very people. And they were critical of it. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell this little story and I'm going to teach them a little bit. So this is the part that applies to them. He got this brother right here, and this older brother's pouting about his younger brother, and he acts like his father owes him something. He calls himself a servant, which the word is actually translated from a word that means a slave. He said, I've been here slaving all this time for you, and you hadn't had no party for me. And he was mad, buddy. He's mad at his brother. He's mad at his daddy. And when you boil it all down, you know what his biggest problem was? Sin, or pride. He said he had told his father, I was reading that, I started to make a comment about it when he said, when the elder came, he said he had done all these things. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. You know that was a lie right there. He had transgressed something. Man, he couldn't have been the most perfect child ever was. He had pride. He bragged about slaving and working for the Father, but I'm going to tell you something about it. He was doing it, but his heart wasn't in it. There's a difference. There's a difference. And see, like I said, you can be in a far country and still be here. You can be right here today and your heart's not in it. Yeah. But you know what? And you have a tendency to say, well, you know, at least I showed up at church. I was at church and I'm there and God owes me, like the son, right? God owes me some stuff and I'm here. Your heart's not in it. Well, you're a sinner. You need forgiveness too. And that, you know, and that's a cool thing about this. He had pride. He had selfishness. He didn't want to share with his brother. He was in a far country, even though it wasn't geographically, he was still there. He had anger. He had unforgiveness, and he was carrying a grudge. But he thought he was perfect. He didn't love the Lord with all his heart, as pictured by the dad that he was serving. He didn't love the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, and all his soul. He didn't love his neighbor as himself, the two greatest commandments that the Bible says the two greatest commandments. He didn't love his neighbor as himself either. But guess what? The daddy went out to him too. His father went out to him. He said, how come? He went out and entreated him. He went out and talked to him. Said, son, how come you're not coming in? Your brother's back. He entreated him. Dad could have said, heck with him. But see, that picture, the father pictures Jesus Christ. Listen, he loves him, other sinners, just like he loves you. Huh? Don't, we all get this little title we like to put over our head that says, I'm special. I know I'm a sinner, but my sins are different than his and hers. Huh? Mine are different than yours. My sins are better than yours. Huh? We like to say we're special. You know, and that. No, listen, the father went out to both sons because he loved them both. God loves me just much as he loves you. Huh? He does. And he forgives us all the same way. He loves you just much as he loves me. And you know what? When it's all said and done, in the whole big picture, there's only one person in the whole story that's not happy. And it's the older brother. The father's happy. The brother's happy. The servants are happy. They're all making merry because the brother came home. He found his way home. Just one brother that held on to his pride. He held on to his grudge. He held on to, just the attitude that he had about the whole situation. He's the only person in the whole story that's not happy. What's the big attraction in the far country, out there away from God? You know, sin promises freedom, but it brings slavery. It promises success, but it brings failure. It promises life, but it brings death. What's the big attraction? Man, if you're out in a far country, I want to tell you something. The Father's looking. He's looking for you. He's looking for you because He loves you. And everything you're looking for, everything that you're looking for in life is found by or in the person of Jesus Christ. Why not come to your senses? And why not come to your senses and just come on home and have the good life, the life that you're looking for to start with? Let's all stand.